The first reading is Psalm 139, verses 19 to 24. If only you would slay the wicked, O my God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O God, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The second reading is Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. Jesus is speaking. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The third reading is Luke 6, 27 to 36. Again, it is Jesus who is speaking. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. And you'll be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the word of the Lord. As those who
worship with us regularly will know, we're currently doing a series on the teachings of Jesus. And we're going through Matthew's Gospel and then adding in the other Gospels as they take to the same sort of teaching, just to see what the Gospels do present as the teachings of Jesus. And over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the section on the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus properly interprets sections of the law. Jesus is contrasting his understanding of the law with that of the Jewish religious leaders. And Jesus starts each of his teachings on the law by saying something like, "You have heard that it was said." And Jesus is not challenging the law, but rather Jesus is contrasting his understanding of the law with the interpretation of the Jewish religious leaders. Over the past weeks, we have looked at murder and adultery, where Jesus is concerned in both cases with what is going on in someone's heart, as well as their outward actions and words. Then last week, we looked at oaths and what to do when someone offends us or seeks to take advantage of us. And so in these two teachings, Jesus shows us that we are to be people of good character, who are open and honest in our dealings, and that as Christ's followers, we are to be generous towards all people, as generous as we can be, which includes generosity of spirit towards those who insult and offend us, not seeing them as our enemy, but treating them with love and kindness, despite how they have treated us. Jesus is looking at the deeper intent of God's law, and again, this week is no different. And this is the final section of Jesus dealing with the law and interpreting it properly against the Pharisees. Today we're going to be looking at Jesus' teachings on loving our enemies, which is the final part, as I said, of Jesus addressing the Jewish law. In many ways, this teaching is a continuation from what Jesus had just said in regards to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If we remember, Jesus contrasts the teachings of the Pharisees, which used this principle to justify getting payback for even minor things, those minor things that people did to each other, when in fact this law was given to outline the principle of seeking fair and equal justice for crimes in a societal law and order context. So Jesus outlines that his followers are not to seek payback when they are insulted by someone, or when someone uses the law to take something from them, or if someone uses their power over them to force them to do something. In fact, Jesus says not only are we not to seek payback for what is done to us, but we are to show love and generosity to them. We are to allow them to offend us again. Or we should give them more than what they sued us for. Or we should be going above and beyond for someone who forces us to do something we don't want to do. And so Jesus sets up his teaching on loving our enemies in this familiar way by saying, "You have heard that it was said." Again, Jesus is going to contrast his teaching against that of the Pharisees. So Jesus continues, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." Now, just so we're clear, in the other sections where Jesus has said, "You have heard that it was said," he has made a direct reference to the law and then sought to correct the false interpretation of that law. But only part of this quote is in the law, and it's the first part, which is to love your neighbor. And this comes from Leviticus 19, verse 18. And we use this as our Bible reading for last week, where it says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh." The law never says to hate your enemy, but this is obviously a thing which was taught in Jesus' day. I guess as we look at passages such as Psalm 139:19-24, which we read this morning, we can see why people may have understood this as being God's will. In this psalm, David is expressing his desire for God to slay those who are wicked and are trying to plot to kill him. He then goes on to say how he hates those who hate God, and he really hates those who oppose God and sees them as his enemy. But what we have to remember is that this is just David honestly expressing himself to God in complete candor. And in this psalm, David even asks God to show him if there is any offensive way that he has. He is aware that he might have some blind spots. But there is no endorsement here from God for David hating those who hate God. However, the Pharisees did teach that Jews were to love their neighbor and hate their enemies. Remember the question asked of Jesus as part of the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, verse 29. That question of, and who is my neighbor? Asked by an expert in the law to justify himself. And so this question that this expert of the law asks is to limit who was to be categorized as a neighbor. And what Jesus reveals is that the correct interpretation of Scripture is that we shouldn't hate anyone. And that those who set themselves up as our enemies, we should still love. And Jesus is talking about those we consider personal enemies. The word in the Greek for enemies is a personal enemy rather than an enemy nation. And so again, what we see Jesus doing is being concerned about you and your relationship with people, who you are. Who do you see as your enemies? Who has acted as your enemy? These people are not to be hated, but treated with loving kindness. And the reason for why we are to do this is so that we are children of God the Father. Jesus moved in a culture where sons were supposed to be like their father. They trained to continue in the family business and to implement their father's wishes. If God loved his enemies, then for Jesus' disciples to be like their heavenly Father, they too would need to love their enemies. So Jesus then establishes that God the Father does show love to all people, even those who are evil and who hate him, by saying he causes his Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. God brings blessings on the evil people and on those who hate and oppose him. Now, the ultimate sign that God loves his enemies was in our call to worship in Psalm 51. In that psalm, we read that God is willing to have mercy on us and blot out our transgressions and wash away all our iniquity and cleanse us from all our sin, which is, of course, ultimately fulfilled through Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. So not only do we have the example of God, the Father, blessing all people with sunshine and rain, but we now have an even clearer example, the example set by Jesus himself. If Jesus didn't live by this principle of loving his enemies, none of us would be going to heaven. None of us would be saved. Because we are saved by Jesus' graciousness and his mercy to us. Because Jesus was willing to love us when we were still his enemies. And in any case, to be children of God, we are to act like God and carry out his wishes, which means to love our enemies. Jesus then goes on to reinforce this point, showing that loving those who love us and hating those who hate us is what everyone does, It doesn't take a godly person to do this. Even tax collectors or car salesmen or lawyers or politicians do this. So how is it to your credit if you only love those who love you? Jesus then finishes off this section by encouraging us to be perfect as God is perfect. And this is a reflection of Leviticus 19 verse 2. And this is not to say that we can ever be perfect, but that we should set God's perfection as our goal to reach, our goal to live up to. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but loving our enemies isn't exactly easy. And I'd say it actually goes against human wisdom. I mean, why treat people with kindness who've treated us badly? It makes sense to us as people to want to get the Mac, to treat them the same way that we have been treated. Particularly those who have intentionally hurt us out of hatred or malice, Paul and Peter answer for us why this is not true wisdom. In Ephesians 6 verse 12 and then 2 Peter 3 verse 9. First Paul, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So no person is our true enemy. Our enemy are the spiritual forces who are leading people away from God. Our role is to fight against them and to lead people to God, which is then shown more clearly in our reading from Peter. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And so here we see that God wants us to show his love and to offer to all people the opportunity of repentance, just as we have had, so that God can then also work in their lives and transform them. And if you still don't understand why loving our enemies is both good and right, then think about how you have benefited by God treating you in this way. Isn't it fantastic? Isn't it amazing that God has and continues to love you, even though you have acted like his enemy? Right, so it seems wrong to our natural selves to love those who treat us badly, but we have experienced why loving our enemies is true wisdom and why it is so important for it to be practiced. It's the only way God's dream of everyone possible coming to him can be achieved. Now, Luke also records this teaching of Jesus in his Sermon on the Plain. We're just going to quickly go through this. And this, for Luke, like Matthew, is the first major teaching session of Jesus. Luke records the Beatitudes, but then he jumps straight to loving our enemies, skipping over Jesus' teachings on the law. Luke isn't interested much in the law because he's writing to Theophilus, a Gentile. Remember that Matthew and Luke, they both have a copy of Mark. And so often they will just use Mark's own wording when they're writing their stories. However, neither Luke or Matthew have a copy of the other. And this means that the teachings of Jesus, which are not in Mark, which is almost all of them, are always worded differently. So as you would expect, we see Luke using his own wording when recalling what he has been told by Jesus' disciples and those eyewitnesses. What he had said, because of course Luke was not an eyewitness to Jesus' ministry. And what we see is that Luke records the same teaching of Jesus with the same meaning as Matthew does. We see Luke pick up on all the same beats that Matthew does, and so we will have a quick look at that in a second. It's most likely that Matthew's retelling of this teaching of Jesus is closer to how Jesus taught this. However, it is possible that Jesus taught the same thing many times, and Luke's version is just another moment when Jesus taught these things. But in any case, What we get in Luke is a mixing together of last week's teaching we looked at and this week's teaching we looked at. That on not seeking revenge and on those who hate us and loving those who are our enemies. And Luke also removes any mention of the law as we deal with this idea, because it's not going to be helpful for his intended audience. So Luke, in Luke 6, verses 27 to 28, records the same thing as Matthew does in Matthew 5, verse 44. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who mistreat you. But then Luke grabs the part of the story where Jesus taught not to repay evil with evil, but evil with good, which we find in Matthew 5, 38 to 42. And he adds it in here. So we've got, if someone strikes you on the cheek, offer him the other, and if someone takes your cloak, then be willing to give him your tunic also. And then he continues in the same way Matthew does by sharing how Jesus taught his disciples to be generous and to give to people who won't pay us back, and then adding in that very well-known saying of Jesus, do to others as you would have them do to you. So Luke presents the teachings of Jesus in a more general way, which is applicable for everyone, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, and in a way which is simpler and less confusing for a Gentile to understand. But again, notice how nothing in the beats of what Jesus says has been altered, nor any of the intention of Jesus' teachings. They're exactly the same. Luke then continues with Jesus' teaching on how it is of no credit to you to love those who love you, because even sinners do this. And then picks up on Jesus reiterating that we are to love our enemies and to do good to them, even lending to them without expecting to get anything back. And by doing so, we will be children of God Most High, because we will be following in God's footsteps, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And so Luke finishes off this teaching with Jesus saying, be merciful just as your Father is merciful, which is just a slightly different translation of the Hebrew found in Leviticus 19:2, where it says, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. So, Jesus taught his followers that they were to love their enemies, to pray for those who persecute them, and to treat those who hated them and treated them poorly with loving kindness, as one would treat a good friend and neighbor. And we should do this because God treats us and all people in this way. And if we are to be the children of God and followers of Jesus, then we are to do the will of God, our Father, and to follow the example of the Father and of Jesus in loving our enemies. Amen.